Ava did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In Manchester, Withington, healthcare training places sit empty while experienced staff leave understaffed wards and qualified candidates cannot access the programs that would prepare them to fill the gaps.
My name is Ava and I wanted to become a nurse. I grew up in Fallowfield watching my gran receive excellent care at Manchester Royal Infirmary. My mum cleaned the university buildings, my dad drove buses, and they both believed that if you worked hard and aimed high, you could build something better. I wanted to be a nurse after seeing how the staff treated my gran with such skill and dignity when she was dying. It felt like the most important work in the world. I studied hard at Loreto College and got my A-levels, then worked as a healthcare assistant for 2 years to save money and understand what the job really involved. I loved it. Even the difficult shifts, the long hours, the moments when everything went wrong at once. I was good with the patients, calm under pressure, and the nurses I worked with said I had the right instincts. I was ready for the training that would teach me everything else. In 2019, I applied to University of Manchester's nursing degree. They told me all places were filled. I tried Manchester Metropolitan University immediately. Same response. I called Health Education England's Northwest office to ask when applications would open again. The woman on the phone was polite but clear. We've had to reduce our training commissions this year due to budgetary constraints from Treasury spending limits. That sounded reasonable. Money was tight everywhere. I worked another year as a healthcare assistant at Manchester University. NHS Foundation Trust, watching the wards operate with skeleton crews. Experienced nurses were leaving for agency work or moving to other sectors entirely. The remaining staff were exhausted, pulling double shifts, handling patient loads that should have been spread across more people. But I accepted what I had been told. There was no money for more training places. I reapplied in 2020 with excellent references from the charge nurses I had worked with. Rejected again. I spoke to other applicants in the same situation. A senior nurse mentioned that Zane from nearby Rusholme had faced identical barriers. She said there were dozens of people like us, qualified and experienced, ready to start training, all being told the same thing. No places available due to budget constraints. In 2021, I was working a shift at Manchester Met when I had to deliver patient records to the nursing school. What I saw made no sense. Entire lecture halls sitting empty in the middle of the day. Computer labs with dust covers over the monitors. Simulation wards that looked like they could train a full cohort but were clearly running classes only 3 days a week. I asked the security guard about it. He said the facilities had been built for much larger numbers, but they barely used half the space now. I went back the next week and asked to speak to someone in admissions. The administrator I spoke to was surprisingly honest. "We have the capacity for 200 more students," she said. "The lecture halls, the simulation equipment, the clinical placements, the teaching staff. But Health Education England will only fund places for half that number. We're not allowed to take more students than they'll pay for." I pressed her on this. "So the problem isn't space or equipment or teachers?" "No," she said. "The problem's that Health Education England's budget was capped by the Treasury. They tell us exactly how many places they'll fund, and we can't exceed that number, even though we could easily handle twice as many students." I walked home that day thinking about what she had said. The facilities existed. I had seen them with my own eyes. Empty lecture halls, unused computer labs, simulation wards running at half capacity. The people existed. Me, Zane, dozens of others who wanted this training and had the qualifications to succeed. The experienced staff existed. The nurses who had given me references, who said I was ready, who knew the NHS needed more people like me on the wards. The need definitely existed. Every shift I worked, I saw the consequences of understaffing. Patients waiting longer for care, nurses stressed beyond breaking point, beds closed because there weren't enough staff to keep them open safely. The whole system was crying out for more trained people, so what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect these resources to these needs. That was a political decision dressed as an accounting problem. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still watching, still working as a healthcare assistant, while the nursing school runs half empty. I understand now that this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Ava experienced has a name, fake experts. This technique worked by citing economists who treated the household budget analogy as gospel truth, as though repeating it made it real. For decades, tobacco companies paid scientists to question the link between smoking and lung cancer, creating an illusion of scientific debate where the evidence was actually overwhelming. The same tactic operates in public spending debates. In Ava's case, every time she asked why training places were capped, officials cited unnamed economists who supposedly proved that we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is deeply divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Appeals to economists say without naming them are classic fake expertise. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. And in Manchester Withington, those resources were sitting idle. Empty lecture halls, unused computer labs, qualified applicants like Ava ready to train, experienced staff ready to teach them. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Manchester Withington ranks 283 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 6, English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 1,887 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £32.4 million, 360 giving grant AV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.